Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Tarot International. The Tarot trainers are experts in helping you and your business to achieve, lead, and outclass in every situation. Learn more at tero.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. Today, we're going to be talking about housing, the myriad amount of issues that are facing Americans in cities and in counties all over the United States. Our guest is Jenny Schutz. She is with the Brookings Institute, a senior fellow there specializing in cities and states. And she has recently written a book called Fixer Upper and is with the Polk County Housing Trust Fund to talk about the many issues that revolve around, well, housing, even affordable housing. Jenny, welcome to the Business News Hour. Grateful that you're here. Welcome to Des Moines.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
So, you live in Washington, D.C. with the Brookings Institute. Tell us a little bit about Brookings. So, what is that? So, people may not know, right?
Brookings is a think tank, which doesn't really explain what we do, but we analyze policy, we try to understand problems in the U.S. and across the world, and we try to come up with better ideas for policies to suggest things that we could be doing that we haven't tried yet.
Like what?
Well, on the housing side, for instance, we've been trying to think about ways that local governments and state governments can help support more housing supply at a range of different price and rent points.
And in your book, Fixer Upper, you detail a number of issues that are barriers to home ownership for people across a wide spectrum, yes?
Yes. We start with the problem that the U.S. hasn't been building enough homes for the past decade. Really, since the Great Recession, we haven't built enough homes to keep up with the demand created by population growth and job growth. So we just don't have enough places for people to live. Many of our existing homes are older, not in great quality, and so we need to invest in upgrading them, retrofitting them to deal with climate stresses, making them more accessible for older adults and people with disabilities, so making our existing homes better. And then we have affordability problems that are across a range of the income distribution. Of course, this is toughest for people with low incomes because they just don't earn enough to pay for the cost of housing. But in particular, at the moment, we have very high interest rates and high housing prices, which makes it really difficult for younger households to buy their first home and get into home ownership.
And we've noticed over the past year the number of people who are skeptical about downsizing their home because they would get into a mortgage with a higher interest rate. So they're staying put in their existing homes, which has caused a lack of homes, period, to be on the market. Although we just learned the other day that in March, home sales rose by some 28%, as people, I think, are going, okay, we're not going to wait around for the interest rate to go higher or lower. We got to get out. So there is that at the same time.
Absolutely. I mean, both the lack of building enough new homes and the high interest rates are making the housing market really stuck at the moment. People don't have a place to move. So if you need to relocate to another job, if you want to downsize for older adults or younger households who may be in a smaller home and need more space, everybody is a little bit stuck. There just isn't enough slack and enough turnover to make things kind of work well.
And you indicated to me off mic that renters are renting longer, yes?
Yes, we're seeing an increase in the age of renters. We see higher income households who probably would have been homeowners already in previous generations are still renting. Some of that is by choice. People may want to rent because they don't know if they're going to be in the city for a while. They may plan on moving at some point. But we know that some of this is just because it's so hard to buy your first house that people are stuck in renting after they have decided they're ready to make that transition, but they just can't afford it yet.
Our guest is Jenny Schutz, ladies and gentlemen. She is the writer of Fixer Upper. What is the overall arching thought process about the book Fixer Upper? Is this about fixing our housing, critical housing needs?
It is. The subtitle is How to Repair America's Broken Housing Systems.
Uh-huh.
And the idea is really that we have a lot of different problems in our housing market. And if you look at them individually, you may think, well, here's a problem. We can fix this with this solution. But it turns out that all of our housing problems are really interconnected. So everything from the lack of supply, difficulty of low-income households affording minimum quality homes, tax incentives that may keep people in in their homes. The way we fund things like schools and public services that depend on property taxes sometimes incentivizes local governments to not allow certain kinds of housing.
And that would be multifamily housing.
Often, multifamily housing, rental housing, lower cost housing, local governments worry that it won't bring in enough property taxes to pay for services.
And so when legislatures in numerous states across the country have capped those property tax rates, that even puts more of a stressor on services like public schools and infrastructure and all kinds of things that cities do, yes?
That's exactly right. I can understand why legislators want to keep property taxes from going up quickly over time. It turns out that voters hate that when they get a bigger property tax, but the quality of the existing services is likely to take a hit. So if you walk down a street and you see potholes and sidewalks that are broken, there's a good chance it's because the local government can't collect enough revenue to pay to maintain the existing infrastructure.
And the remedy to that in many places is to increase the sales tax, if you can, which I would imagine you would agree with me is a regressive tax, because it does impact those of lower wage individuals more succinctly, yes?
Yes, we do worry about that. Low-income households spend more of their money on things like groceries, and so the sales tax takes a bigger chunk out of their budget. Property taxes really do put more taxes on people who own big and expensive homes who tend to be more affluent.
So what do we do about all this, Jenny? This sounds like a monumental problem that is not going to go away at any time soon. And what are you telling the Polk County Housing Trust Fund about what may be solutions looking forward?
Yeah, there are a variety of solutions for local governments, state governments, and the federal government. Starting at the local level, cities and counties really need to figure out how to make it easier and cheaper to build a variety of homes at different price points, different sizes and structure types, so that workers at lots of different income levels can afford to live close to their job. So that may include things like allowing more apartments, allowing modular and manufactured housing, homes on smaller lots, figuring out how to make this affordable, including investing more public resources to help low-income households afford decent quality housing in places near jobs and economic opportunity.
One of the issues tends to be around, obviously, it's about money. It is more costly to build a house today. It's more costly to pay workers, although we've seen an increase in the amount of construction workers across the United States in many, many areas, simply because we do need more building going on. But one of the issues tends to be wages. If I am a lower income individual, I may be having to work two and a half jobs in order to pay my housing costs that can be up to 50% of my income. That is a problem, yes?
Absolutely. Wages at the bottom end of the income distribution just haven't kept up with the cost of housing. And so people are really stretched. And as you said, they're spending half of their income on housing. They can't afford basic necessities.
And for those individuals who are really interested in quality of life and in the dynamics of a family, what kind of positive family dynamic is it if mom and dad have to work 2.5 jobs and be out of the home?
Yeah, we know that this is really stressful for low-income families. They often wind up in overcrowded situations, so households doubling up to afford housing, which means the kids don't have a space to do their homework. Financial stress is just really hard on people's physical health and mental health and kids' development. So making sure that kids have a place to live that's good quality, that's close to a decent public school, and that their family has the resources they need, that's really important for our future workforce.
How do we pay for all of this, Jenny?
Where does the money come from?
Yeah, where does the money come from?
Yeah.
That's always the question. We talk about incentives for building, incentives for individuals to get into a home, incentive for individuals to afford a mortgage. How do we get there?
Well, for low-income families, the answer is really for the federal government to provide more consistent support. And part of that is because this is a national problem. In every part of the country, not just the expensive places like California and New York, but relatively low-cost housing markets, poor families just can't afford housing. And so the federal government is the only one with deep enough pockets to provide the support for everybody. The Biden administration had proposed a pretty large expansion of housing vouchers, just one of the most effective tools that we have for helping low-income families. families. Unfortunately, Congress wasn't interested in discussing that as part of the budget, so we'll have to wait and see whether that comes back at some point in the future.
Yeah, housing vouchers. Explain that.
That's a program where low-income households rent an apartment on the private market. They spend 30% of their income on rent, and the federal government essentially picks up the rest of the tab.
Which is, by the way, 30% is generally considered the norm, isn't it?
That's the standard. If you spend more than that, then you're considered to be cost burdened.
Yeah. Jenny Schutz, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. She is the author of Fixer Upper, and she is with the Polk County Housing Trust Fund talking about the issue of affordable housing or housing in general and all of the barriers that are out there as it pertains to individuals here in the United States. All right. So is this the Department of Housing and Urban Development? Is that who you work with regard to vouchers and that type of effort?
Yes. So HUD administers the federal voucher program. One of the complications of housing policy, though, is that it runs through different agencies. Mm. So, for instance, the biggest program we have to build new construction of affordable housing is the Low-Income Housing Tax Credit Program. And because that's a tax credit, that's actually run through the Treasury Department. That provides a lot of the subsidies for local groups like the Polk County Housing Trust Fund to do new housing development for low-income people.
And so we have a myriad of departments that we have to attack, I guess is a bad word, but that we have to work with. And sometimes those agencies don't speak to each other.
That's right. We fund things out of different pockets, and the agencies don't always coordinate with one another particularly well.
As you've visited the capital city for the state of Iowa, Des Moines, have you been on any tour of some of the housing locations here?
I've done some unofficial walking tours around
good.
Downtown in the state capitol. You do have some beautiful new apartments that are over close to the capitol. It looks like there's definitely some new construction happening and some lovely ground floor retail. So I can tell that you've got good developers working in the area.
We have. And I was just looking at a couple of websites, Hubble Homes, by the way, and they have built some condominiums in two different sections of Des Moines. However, those two-bedroom, two-bath units are selling for $537,000 all the way up to $758,000. I wouldn't think that's too affordable.
New construction is always going to be expensive, and we tend to forget this because new construction is a small amount of the overall stock. But if you're building and you have to buy land and pay for workers and pay for construction materials and borrow money for the construction, that's just going to be expensive. We really rely on the older stock to provide most of the housing that people live in, and homes do depreciate as they get older, and so a house that's 10 years old is going to be cheaper than one that's brand new.
And as we take a look at the aging housing stock, which is another one of those issues that we have, homeowners are encouraged to keep them in good repair. But that's also expensive. So maybe, folks, you can use some of that money that you're saving at your 3% interest rate to go ahead and continue to do upkeep on your home. Final question for you, Jenny. As we look to the future, there must be some agreement, and I know it's difficult in Congress to get any agreement about anything these days, but there must be some agreement to take a look at what's happening across the United States. Now, this is not just an urban issue. This is also a rural issue. The 99 counties, for example, in Iowa, of those 99 counties, I believe four or six counties had population growth. The others are going down. Housing is non-existent. There are more migrants living in those communities, and that's causing some concern among the people because those people are moving in, and housing stock is awful. The movie, If You Build It, They Will Come, is kind of a synopsis of what we need to do going forward. Would that be accurate? Final question for you.
You're absolutely right that we need to think about solutions that work in different local markets. Rural areas don't get talked about as much, but they have particularly difficult issues. We don't build a lot of homes in rural areas. They're farther from the markets where we have materials and labor. Often they don't have the kind of infrastructure, water and sewer to support housing. So we really do need to think about how to tackle these issues in different places.
Yeah, and again, ladies and gentlemen, this is not just an urban issue. This is a really diverse issue, and it does affect all of rural America, as we see those population, once populated towns that had their own schools, are now combining, and we have schools with alphabet names rather than regular names because they've had to combine so much just to stay open. Our guest has been Jenny Schutz. She is with the Brookings Institute, a senior fellow, working with issues that involve cities and states. And we've been talking about her book, Fixer Upper. We will have links to all of this on the radio blog. Jenny, thanks so very much for spending time with us. It's always a pleasure to visit with members of the Brookings Institute, because when you say think tank, that you think about stuff, but you also provide some workable solutions, yes?
That's what we try to do. We try to come up with good ideas and put them out there for people to pick up.
That, once again, is the voice of Jenny Schutz from the Brookings Institute. You can find out more by going to brookings.edu/metro. And we will have links to all of this up on the radio blog. And that's a wrap for this edition of the Business News Headlines. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Champ Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Jenny Schutz, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.